In Matthew 6:22-23, Jesus said that the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Apostle Paul lends some clarity to what Jesus said when he writes that unbelievers are those whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We are living in a time when the realities of the book of Revelation and its corresponding biblical texts are more likely to be fulfilled than ever before. More importantly than all of the distracting issues being stirred across the globe by sin and Satan, we need to make sure that we as believers have the spiritual insight that only Christ can give. This week, we look behind the physical eye into the eye of the mind to determine whether or not our spiritual sight is bad and what that might mean, or if we are seeing things in life the way God intends. I'm Keith L. Bell, and this is The Limp. Someone said that the eyes can only see what the mind is able to comprehend. There are volumes of truth in that statement. Ask a child who's never seen a zebra to point out one at a zoo, and don't be surprised if they choose a chimpanzee. Only after a child is taught what a zebra looks like can they reliably identify one. Yes, either the eyes have it or they don't. So often in my interactions with people about the problems of the world, I hear it said that I can't see how a loving God would, well, you know, the rest. But the first response that comes to my mind is, you know what? You're right. You can't see how God would allow this or that, unless you are willing to submit your mind to the Word of God. Of course, in most cases, I don't immediately say that unless the Spirit leads me to, but I do find points in the conversation to make sure it's understood. You see, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. The Holy Spirit must unlock one's understanding of God's word and will. And that is what we will be talking about for the duration of this episode, with the thought that either the eyes, E-Y-E-S, have it or they don't. From the beginning, humanity has had eye problems. 20/20 vision is the standard for correct vision in our world. And if you don't have 20/20 vision, there are various ways that science has discovered to correct it. But when it comes to spiritual sight, it's not that simple. Take, for example, Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Of course, that fateful conversation that Eve had with the serpent led to her eating of the forbidden fruit and giving to her husband to eat, and they both immediately fell into sin. And the Bible says that their eyes were opened. And see, Satan actually used that against them. He said, you know, God doesn't want you to eat of this fruit because he knows that the day that you do it, your eyes will be open and you'll be able to know the difference between good and evil. Well, God, I believe, ultimately had a plan for mankind to understand the difference between good and evil, but not to experience it. That was man's choice. So when they ate of the forbidden fruit, they intimately gained understanding between good and evil. In other words, they brought evil into their being. Now, of course, God, in his loving way, instituted a plan whereby man could be redeemed from that evil that was brought within through his son, Jesus Christ, namely the last Adam. And of course, for those who believe in Jesus Christ, they are delivered from that curse. Practically, we are going through a sanctification process, but there's going to come a day when we will be permanently delivered from every trace of that curse, when we get to be with Jesus, see him as he is, and are fully glorified and without the possibility of sin ever again. But until then, this is where we are. Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, and they brought into humanity eye problems, failed vision, the inability to properly discern the best for humanity, for themselves. And that's who we all are today. And that's why we so need our Creator. In the beginning, they ate of that fruit, their eyes were open, and nakedness became to them something that was shameful, when in God's original plan it was not. There's nothing more beautiful than the human body. But today, you would think that it's the worst thing in the world. Even some of the most beautiful people despise their bodies, so much so that they're willing to have them cut into and to have toxic chemicals injected into them to alter their shape or their appearance, because our vision, our understanding is so warped that we don't see the beauty, the true beauty of God's creation within ourselves. And so Jesus came to deliver us from all of this deception. Mankind has had eye problems from the beginning. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for all the things that he's done to institute his plans. Now, because sin has impaired our vision, God, in his love and his grace and his mercy, does sometime open our eyes in another way. In fact, God has to sometime open our eyes in order to help us to see the error of our ways. Adam and Eve didn't quite even see the error of their way. When God came into the garden after they had eaten the forbidden fruit, God asked Adam, "Where are you?" And if Adam had discernment of where he really was, he would have simply said, "God, I am in sin. I have done that which you told me not to do, and I am wrong. That's where I am. I am in sin." But no, he said, "I heard your voice coming, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid." In other words, because sin had entered in, his perception of God was changed, was warped to where he needed to be afraid of God for the wrong reasons, and he sought to flee from God and hide from God. He and Eve began to look at each other in the wrong way. That began the battle of the sexes, I believe, at that very moment. That's where it all started. But anyway, they had to have their visions open to see where they were. And how did God do that? He asked Eve and Adam where they were, basically. And after they told him what they had to say, which was just accusing others, Adam accused the woman accused the serpent. And God didn't disagree with their accusations, but he did rebuke them for their choices. And so after he pronounced the curse, he also pronounced a possible blessing. But God showed them where they were. He told them not to eat of the forbidden fruit, that in the day that they did it, they would surely die. Well, now they were in the midst and the throes of bringing death into humanity. And not long after that, they would experience that with Cain, their son, killing their other son, Abel. So God has to show you the error of your ways. And another example of that, opening the eyes to show the error of the way, was with the prophet Balaam. If you remember his story from Numbers chapter 22, Balaam was a prophet of God. And he was asked by a king by the name of Balak to come and to pronounce a curse on the people of Israel that were entering into his land. And Balaam wanted the money that was being offered to him to come and do that. But Balaam knew also that it wouldn't be right to do that. And yet he still sought to find a way to get it done anyway. So with the lust of the flesh within him, wanting to have the wealth and the riches, he figured, "I'd go anyway, see what happens, see if I can somehow pull this thing off and get those riches." So he's on his way on his donkey, and his donkey continues to act erratically and to even smash him up against a wall. And he basically is angered at his donkey, and God causes his donkey to speak and to ask him, "Have I ever done anything wrong to you?" And Balaam couldn't say he had. And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes to see that there was an angel standing in his path that would have killed Balaam if he would have continued in that direction. So his donkey was trying to avoid that direction. So God basically opened Balaam's eyes to be able to see that he was heading down a dangerous path. He was heading to a place to see if he could get away with getting that wealth in his hands somehow, some way, even though he knew that as a prophet of God, he had no right cursing the people of God. Eventually, he did get there, and eventually he tried to curse the people of God. And every time he tried, he ended up pronouncing a blessing. And then eventually he did actually teach Balak how to cause the people of God to stumble on their own so that God would have to punish them anyway. And so Balaam was eventually punished by being able to be killed by the people of God for his treachery down the road. But God had to open Balaam's eyes to see the error of his ways. And he'll do the same thing for you and I. He'll open our understanding to make us realize that we are heading down a dangerous path. It may come through some sickness. It may come through some difficulty. It may come through some relationship or some conversation or a sermon we heard or something. God will unlock your understanding to help you to see that you're heading down the wrong path. And then it's up to you to make the right decision. But I thank God that he also sometimes opens our eyes to see that he is protecting us. If you remember in 2 Kings chapter 6, there was Elisha and his servant. and Elisha and his servant were surrounded by an army. And the servant was nervous. He was afraid. He didn't know what they would do, how they would overcome. And Elisha prayed that God would open his servant's eyes so that he can see the truth, to see what was going on around him. And of course, when God opened his eyes, the servant could see that there were armies of angels surrounding the outskirts of the army that was surrounding them. So it was an eye-opening experience for the servant that encouraged him and helped him to see that greater is the one who is with them than those who are against them. And that's who God is for us as well. He will sometimes open our eyes through certain circumstances or situations so we can see that the greater one is with us and on our side. God also sometimes, by his Holy Spirit, must be the eye opener for us in order for us to understand what his word has to say. David, a man after God's own heart, prayed in Psalm 119:18, "Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." That's one of my actual life verses, as a matter of fact. When I first started studying in the ministry years ago, I stumbled across that passage and I made it my own because that's what I longed for. The Bible seemed very complicated to me at first, and there were passages that I just couldn't seem to approach. And I just had to call out to the Lord and ask the Lord for his guidance. And that became one of my verses that I've remembered since that day. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. In fact, when I was in the military, I was teaching overseas, teaching Filipinos. I had a Bible study that I'd set up called WTBS-FM. It was called Wondrous Things Bible Studies and Fellowship Ministry, WTBS-FM. And the slogan for it was Real Talk About the Rock. And we're not talking about Dwayne Johnson either. We're talking about the rock that is higher than anyone, and that's Jesus Christ. And so it was Wondrous Things Bible Studies and Fellowship Ministry. And we had great time together, great food and fun, but we really got into the word together. It was a beautiful thing. And I always prayed that prayer. Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law as we get into the word together today. And that's what David prayed. Man after God's own heart prayed that prayer. He understood that he needed God's spirit to unlock his understanding because these things are too deep for carnal minds to comprehend. That's the bottom line. The Bible also declares that the faith to believe in Jesus Christ comes by hearing, but what does that hearing come by? It comes by the word of God. So when our eyes are opened by God, so are our ears spiritually as well, because the type of eye opening we're talking about here is God giving the mind the comprehension it needs to properly see the salvation of the Lord. Isaiah 35, for example, that whole chapter is about 10 verses. It talks about the time that's yet to come when the Lord comes back and sets up his kingdom on the earth and everything is in perfect peace. It talks about it in verse 5. It says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened." Now, when it's talking about opening eyes, it's not only talking about physical sight, because if that were the case, there would be no blind people on earth today. Because Christ came 2,000 years ago and he actually recalled those prophecies, spoke about those things when he healed people of blindness. And if that were the case, that he was only talking about physical blindness, then there would be no blind people on the earth today. The most important thing he was speaking of was being able to see the salvation of the Lord, to be able to see the truth instead of the lie that Adam and Eve were deceived by, to help us to unbelieve the lie. And so it's very important for us to realize that God is the eye opener. You know, he is the eye opener. I think it was Coast Soap that said it was the eye opener. Yeah, well, you know, it is kind of good to smell some deodorant soap first thing in the morning when you're taking a shower. It can perk you up a bit, but that's only good for just making you feel good for a few minutes while you're taking a shower. God is the eye opener who unlocks the understanding of the mind so that we can receive the fullness of who we were meant to be, but most importantly, the understanding of who he is, who God is, our creator and our God is. So we are thankful for these things, these ways that God opens our eyes. Thank God that our eyes have been opened to be able to see the glory of God in Jesus Christ. John chapter 9 talks about a man born blind. And his disciples even asked Jesus, "Who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he was born blind?" And it was kind of a ridiculous question. Now, the first part of the question, his parents, that could be, you know, a decent question to ask. His parents sins and the son is born blind. But if the man is born blind, then how can being born blind be a result of his sin if he had not been born yet? But anyway, those are the things that they thought about. And there's a little bit more to say about that. And there's an understanding of it as well. But that's not important. The fact is, the man was born blind. Jesus Christ healed him of his eyesight. And then, of course, because he was bearing witness of Jesus Christ and what he had done for him, and the scribes and Pharisees despised Jesus, they pretty much threw him out of the temple. They didn't want him to be a part of the synagogue anymore. So he basically lost some of his livelihood, so to speak, because the synagogue took care of families. But anyway, Jesus met him along the way a little bit later after that healing and asked him about who he was. And the man pretty much confessed who Jesus Christ was. And Jesus literally at that point made it clear to him that he was not only healed from physical blindness, but he was healed from spiritual blindness. This man was born again because he came to acknowledge who Jesus Christ was in truth and believed in Jesus Christ. And so he was also saved. Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Now, with the new birth in Christ comes spiritual sight as well. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3 to Nicodemus that unless you are born again, you will not even be able to see the kingdom of heaven, not to mention be able to enter it. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17 talks about why Jesus spoke in parables. And I remember speaking to a young lady a couple of years ago. We were talking about parables and things, and she was speaking to me and telling me that the parables were given by Jesus so that everyone could understand what Jesus had to say. And I said, I'm sorry, my sister, but that is the exact opposite. Jesus Christ didn't speak the parables so that everyone could understand. Christ spoke in parables so that a certain group of people could not understand. He said it himself in that passage. And so let me just read a little bit of that. And the disciples came and said to Jesus, and this is in Matthew chapter 13, once again. They came to Jesus and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whosoever has, to him will more be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Remember what I said, either the eyes have it or they don't. So if your eyes can see and understand the things of God, then you'll be given more. But if your eyes cannot see and understand the things of God, and you claim that you're a Christian or claim that you live for God, guess what? You're fooling yourself. You're not going to get anything until you come to the saving knowledge of the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Then the Spirit unlocks your understanding, and then you can get more understanding. But anyway, verse 13 of Matthew chapter 13 says, therefore, Jesus said, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will not hear, and you shall not understand. And seeing you will not see, and you shall not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. God was making it clear that he was pretty much done with these people who continually rebelled against him, and they were not going to get a chance to be able to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Verse 16 says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and do not see it, and to hear what you hear and do not hear it. So you see there how Jesus Christ basically is speaking parables in order to, in a sense, keep some people's eyes closed while also communicating to people whose eyes are open. And that's us, the people who believe in him. So as we get ready to round this out, I just want you to understand that it's all about the eyes of your understanding. That's what it's all about. That's what it all boils down to. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's all of this wonderful seeing that the world, the flesh, and the devil is trying to keep you and me as believers from seeing. He knows that this is what it means to walk by faith and not to merely walk by physical sight. The devil knows it gives us a clear understanding, gives us a clear picture of our God and his promises to never leave or forsake us. The devil knows that it is also what helps us understand that the devil is already defeated by Christ and has a short time to do his dirty deeds before his ultimate date with hellfire, which will be his eternal home. It's time for us to recommit ourselves to the prayerful and obedient study of the Word of God so that we can discern the times, fulfill the great commandment and great commission, and live lives that truly bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I truly hope you see what I'm saying. It's time for us to continually be being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that's Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we may prove what is that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of God. So remember this as we close. No matter where you are in life, you too can begin to walk like Christ. You simply need to learn the limp. You need to continually be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will always remind yourself that the Lord is my portion. He is absolutely everything I need. God bless.